Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You have tuned into the Rebel Roundup on this, a Friday, April 19th, 2024. I'm David Menzies and my co-host. Well, let me tell you a little bit about my co-host, shall I? Do you know, folks, today is National Garlic Day? And I think I will imbibe in some garlic today because neither my co-host nor any other female I know is going to be kissing me today. She is the she-devil with a spatula. She is the Khaleesi of La Belle Provence. She is Alexa Lavoie. Bonjour, Alexa.
Bonjour. You know you can use garlic for treating, disease, but I think you need to put it really deep in your...
Say it.
Nah. You should try it. Oh, just ask Madame Menzi for that.
Yes, maybe I shall. And you know, garlic does help a sore throat, I find. I know some Eastern European friends of mine that if they feel a cold coming on, they just get raw organic garlic and eat it like an apple. Yeah, the after effect is you turn into Pepe Le Pew, but it does have healing potential. And by the way, because I'm so rarely on the Roundup these days on Fridays, that Sheila's bailiwick, but Sheila is, I believe, in the process of flying to the UK to cover the Tommy trial. I just want to get one thing off my chest, Alexa. I'm really upset by this because Disney, this uber woke corporation that keeps churning out superhero movies that are woke and they're disasters, both critically and financially. They just never learn their lesson. And I learned last week that they're going to do yet another reboot of the Fantastic Four, the very first Marvel comic of the modern era. And the Silver Surfer, right, is going to be played by Julia Garner. There's just one problem, Alexa. The Silver Surfer is a dude. He's a guy. Why is the Silver Surfer going to be female? Nothing against females, but then again, maybe it's going to be a trans woman. So I am wearing, in solidarity, I got out my Silver Surfer tie from the 1990s. There he is, the Herald of Galactus himself. And by the way, as you can tell, there's another profound problem when making the Silver Surfer female. And that is Disney trying to get an R or an X rating? Because the Silver Surfer doesn't have a costume. He's bare-chested. So what are they going to do about the mammary glands of the female Silver Surfer? Unbelievable. So in Silver Surfer solidarity, I am wearing this tie for the rest of the year. How do you like that? And by the way, Alexa, I love this tie. I have some other superhero ties. You know what? You might think the Surfer is flying around the moon, but actually the Silver Surfer, he's flying around Uranus.
Seriously, David, you have like, I saw a little bit of your clothing, okay? And you have the most hilarious stuff that I don't know where you take all of your stuff. But I was like, why is actually have that in his closet? Where'd that come from?
I just hope our beloved colleague Tamara Ugolini is not watching because she's very triggered by that planet's name, Uranus. And so if I've offended her, my apologies in advance. Anyways, enough of my nonsense. Alexa, what is it that we're hoping to do here today?
So today, it's been such a while that I didn't do the live stream, but I'm really pleased to be there and to do it with David Menzi. I think now it's every Friday live stream, we are talking about news of the week, some information that you might not have. And we also receive some comment of your part. If you have like question or you just want to interact with us, you can send us a super chat. You can send it from Getter, Odyssey, Rumble, and of course on YouTube. But I think like before, you know, you remember during the so-called pandemic, we were not allowed to talk about so many different topics because we were in YouTube. But now I think like it's fine. I don't think there is like any topic that are dangerous to talk about, but you can follow us in all those platforms, and you can also share the link if you want some friend to join to the discussion.
Packed schedule, and I'm happy to take ideas from you, Alexa. But I see Efren put at the top of the agenda the one of the men arrested in that huge $20 million plus gold heist. He's already out on the street. He was at a gym the other day. Geez, it's a good thing he wasn't doing something super illegal, like, oh, I don't know, practicing journalism. The cops don't like it if you're going to give the pro-Hamas types an insensitive question. I mean, Alexa, I'm besides myself. You know, there was a great WWE wrestler back in the day, Razor Ramon. His actual real name is Scott Hall. And he had this, his iconic phrase is he would give his golden necklaces to the ring attendant, and before tossing his toothpick in his face, he would always say, something happened to the gold, something going to happen to you, Chico. But apparently in Canada, something happens to the gold and nothing happens to you. And they haven't even recovered the vast majority, the lion's share of that gold. What do you make of this?
Like, seriously, it's just better to love than to cry. Because when we look at what Tamara Litch had passed through for a mischief, 50 days in jail, she was not capable to talk with in social media. She was not capable to go out of her house. She was like, there was so many restrictions for a mischief. This man, not only has been like, is not be find guilty yet, but is like under the radar, but the police, and I'm trying to search it, the police have like say that conspiracy to commit indictable offenses, and is also a theft of over $5,000, and this man is free. This man can go to the gym. This man can do like whatever he wants. We have a huge double standard. Our justice system is broken, and when we... On the article, what they like most of the big criminal who commit really high offense are just getting released without any punishment. Like this man is now walking free on, like, we don't know when it will be like in front of the judge yet, but how long it would take for them to be judged. Again, we will have the problem of the justice that it would take too long. So finally, they will not be able to judge them and just release them without any charge.
And you know what? That's not an outrageous prediction, because there was a Brampton man accused of human trafficking charges. That's pretty serious. I think that's worse than stealing gold, ruining somebody's life through human trafficking. And guess what? The charges are thrown out due to lengthy delays. This is outrageous. I don't understand what the problem is in appointing more judges so this kind of garbage doesn't happen. Now, granted, it was something that was going to go before the courts, and this individual was not found guilty, of course, but because it has been thrown out. But if he is guilty, this is egregious. This is an outrageous affront to our justice system, Alexa.
It is. And by the way, more and more people are getting like arrested for human trafficking. Into the U.S., they found two military were involved in trafficking migrants at the border. They've been arrested and they've been put in jail for now and questioned. And those people will not be released without charge. It's just in Canada. In Canada, we are so weak regarding our justice system. We have a backlog, okay? We are proceeding still for people who have health measure and RF scam ticket. Why those criminals are being just released?
It's spectacular, Alexa. And, you know, it has been several weeks of public relations disasters and black eyes for the Toronto Police Service from arresting journalists and counter demonstrators at these pro-Hamas hate rallies to actually delivering coffee and Timbits to the Hamas demonstrators who are chanting genocide in the street. And then we had from a few weeks ago, one officer. I mean, it's one thing for the justice system to get clogged up and have bleeding heart justices, you know, release people on bail. But it's another thing for a cop to seemingly bend the knee. And, you know, right now, Alexa, we have a car being stolen every 40 minutes in Toronto. And
Montreal too.
I don't doubt it. And Montreal, of course, is the exit point for the you know, the port. That's where these things end up in Africa and the Middle East. And by the way, an interesting story about that. About a month ago, I was at a Pierre Poilievre rally in Toronto, and he told this fascinating story of a man who had, I believe it was an Lexus SUV, and he put a tracking device in it because he was worried. This was on the top 10 list of cars stolen. And wouldn't you know it, within days of taking delivery of it, it was stolen right off his driveway. He phoned the Peel Region Police, the OPP, the RCMP. Everybody said, oh, there's nothing in our jurisdiction that we can do about this. So as it was being shipped in another vehicle, he raced after it, following the GPS tracking to the port of Montreal, because it's going to get into a container and go, you know, across the ocean. And he went running into the area where it was, and the Canadian Border Service agents arrested and detained him for trespassing, you know, and he's saying, my car is in that container. And yet they were more concerned about his unauthorized entrance onto their property. I mean, Alexa, this is unbelievable. You know, if I'm a thief, I'm thinking, you know, this is heaven. This is utopia in Canada, where the authorities are going to A, ignore honest law-abiding car owners about their plight, and B, arrest them for trespassing for whatever reason. But I'll put the final exclamation mark on this was a Toronto police officer saying, you know, why don't you just leave the keys out for the thief so they don't kick in your door, you know, they don't vandalize your house, they don't beat you up, you know, no muss, no fuss. To me, Alexa, the police are about law enforcement. This is the opposite. This is bending the knee to the criminal element.
And you know, you want to know a fun fact, you know, I was traveling in Africa, and one of the border, you know, the no man's lands between Morocco and Mauritania, if you pass through it, it's like about 5 kilometers. It's a huge piece of land, and it's just car, abandoned car. It's just car everywhere. And so the thing is, they needed to put in place some regulation that now if you don't have the paper to prove that this is your car, you cannot pass your car the other side. So it end up that all the car is stuck in between the no man's land.
Oh, that's amazing. So meaning those are all stolen cars from presumably North America. You know.
Exactly.
Well, Alexa, I'll throw to, I want to do a tale of two cities in terms of law enforcement. First, I'll throw to some streeters we did the other day in Toronto asking passersby what they thought about the Toronto police advice of just leaving your keys out for the thief to steal your car. You know, Alexa, spoiler alert, but when 100% of the streeters say this is the most stupid thing ever, you know it's a dumb idea. And after that, I want to come back to a Florida sheriff, because this is my kind of cop, and it was about giving advice of what to do if there's a home invader in your house. This is why I love Florida, why I cherish the free state that Florida is. So first of all, let's see what Torontonians have to say, and then we'll come back to this sheriff's advice of how you really should deal with the bad guys, at least in the state of Florida. passing by here at Yonge Dundas Square, is this indeed good advice in terms of harm reduction? Or is this, I don't know, just giving up on putting an end to car theft in our city? Just leave your key fob in a bag on the porch. What do you make of that?
Nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
If you leave your key anywhere whereby a burglar breaking into your house could easily have access to it, that's terrible, right? And secondly, you know, there've been frequent technologies that these thieves are using, in sense of that they can stand within a radius from where your key is placed and be able to steal your key.
I think that's encouraging them to just, here you go, take whatever you want.
That doesn't make no sense. Why am I gonna leave my keys on the porch for a thief to come get it?
That's a misstatement as far as I'm concerned. That's the worst thing you could say. Why would we put up with that?
It doesn't stand to reason for me, so it doesn't make any sense.
I prefer to keep my own stuff to myself, other than like leaving my stuff around.
Yeah.
I prefer to carry it.
No, I'm not giving my car away. Yeah. I don't think that should be a preventative measure in keeping your car from not being stolen. I think the police should maybe, you know, find out who's stealing the cars.
Well, you know what, folks? I couldn't help but notice this vehicle here. As you can see, it appears to be a promotion for Lotto Max. It's up to the maximum jackpot tonight, 70 million. And that, I guess, is supposed to be a bag full of $70 million in Canadian greenbacks. I wonder if the Toronto police would suggest this as advice in case you win the jackpot tonight. Don't keep it in the house, but leave it on the trunk of your car along with the key fob. At least that way the thief has enough money for gas money and a whole lot extra.
We are all trying to help curb the situation of car thefts.
Yeah.
So if the police officer will suggest something like that, I think it's worth a try. Not necessarily going to stop the whole problem that you're already facing, but it's worth a try. Give it a shot. Don't place your key whereby someone could easily have access to your car from that radius. If you try it, it doesn't work.
So, Alexa, you know, seldom have I done a streeter where it's 100% on one side. Nobody said, oh, no, this is great advice. Can't wait to put my Bimmer's car keys at an accessible theft area. You know what this police officer didn't consider? Because imagine, Alexa, say, God forbid, you had your car stolen and you file a claim with the insurance company, of course. And they go, Miss Lavoie, can you tell us about what happened? And you go, I was worried about my door being kicked in, so I just left my keys out to facilitate a quick getaway. I even put $50 in an envelope for gas money for the thief. I'm sure the insurance company is going to say, thank you very much, Miss Lavoie. Claim denied. Oh, and by the way, we're firing you as a client. You are too big of a loss risk for us. What do you make of that?
But I make of that not long time ago, the Montreal police, I think it's actually the SQ, the provincial police of Quebec, were saying that don't put images of those people who come and stole your packages and your mail, because that can be a violation of their privacy, of the person who come and steal your own property.
You know, thank you for reminding me about that, because basically the Quebec Provincial Police were going to bat for the privacy rights of criminals, of thieves, of porch pirates. And you know what, Alexa? They are morons for doing so. When that story broke, I heard several lawyers chime in that they're on your property. They don't have any right to privacy. And also, think of the implications if we follow that along. How many times have you heard there's a crime committed and police say, if you have security camera footage or dash cam footage, can you share it with law enforcement? You know, well, if the Quebec Provincial Police came to me and said, look, you have a car with a dash cam parked next door to the place where the crime happened, Mr. Menzies, can we have that footage? Well, now I'm going to go, well, gee, officer, I'd like to, but I don't want to violate his privacy, right? So my hands are tied thanks to your idiocy. Thank you for reminding me about that. You know, this is troubling for me, Alexa, because it's not only idiotic. It's a matter of the Quebec Provincial Police not even knowing or understanding the law when it comes to privacy rights.
Yeah, and also, like, I'm the kind of person that if you are committing a crime, I'm sorry, but your rights right now, it's just putting in pause because, like, you just committed the crime. So you need to be accountable of what you just do. Like, example, why we are releasing so many criminals is because on the Superior Court, you should be judged under 30 days or that violate your rights. Which right?
Yeah.
Which right?
Yeah.
Why 30 days? Why are we doing that? Because you just did human trafficking. You just did an indictment crime. Yeah. I'm sorry, but if you do that, you 30 days to be like judged or you violate your rights is not applicable for you. I'm sorry, but no.
No, it's outrageous. The justice system shouldn't be a real life version of the game show Beat the Clock. And if you rag the puck long enough, you get out scot-free. It's outrageous. And it's a slap in the face to the victims. So we've talked about CSBA, Toronto Police, Quebec Provincial Police, all making stupid bonehead decisions in favor of the thieves. Why don't we throw to that clip I teased earlier, Alexa, of a Florida sheriff. This is, like I said earlier, my kind of cop. Oh, would I love to see a Canadian politician or a Canadian member of law enforcement give the advice this gentleman did. Let's roll it.
And I want to say, as to the person, we don't know which homeowner shot at him. I guess they think that they did something wrong, which they did not. If somebody's breaking in your house, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County. We prefer that you do, actually. So whoever that was, you're not in trouble. Come see us. We have a gun safety class we put on every other Saturday. And if you take that, you'll shoot a lot better, and hopefully you'll save the taxpayers money. So with that, questions?
That's great. Thank you, Olivia.
I have like the free courses? Me, I want to know how to shoot correctly.
No, Alexa, that's the thing. The preamble to that, in case you hadn't seen the beginning of the clip, this is someone from the age of 16 who has been charged multiple times. I can't remember the number, double digits. It's kind of catch and release. And he was on a home invasion spree. He was breaking into citizens' homes in this Florida town. And somebody, and rightfully so, shot at him. And the thing is the U.S. has much stronger what's known as castle domain laws, i.e., if somebody breaks into your house, Alexa, there's nowhere else for you to run. The race is over. I'm sure there's some, you know, far left liberal Looney Tunes that would say, oh no, Alexa, run out the back door, hop the neighbor's fence and keep on running. Don't pick up that gun to defend yourself. But that person defended her life and her home. And in Canada, I can remember, I think it was in Milton, it was somebody in the wee hours of the morning, this is going back several months ago, had a break-in. It was a gang. He shot at them. I don't even think he hit them. And he was charged, I think it was with attempted murder by the police. I'm sorry. In the wee hours of the morning, if your house is being broken into by armed thugs, what are you supposed to do? And don't say phone 911. By the time they get there, I mean, the last couple of times I called 911, Alexa, I was actually put on hold. Can you imagine? your call is very important to us. Please don't get murdered until an agent, talks to you. I think we need stronger castle domain laws in this country. And I love the attitude in Florida. And one last point before I hear your opinion on this, Alexa. John Lott's book, More Guns, Less Crime. The stats show in the U.S. that the more liberal the gun laws are, the less crimes there are. And why is that? Well, if the crook, if the burglar knows that, you know, there's a good chance Miss Alexa Lavoie has a heater in her bedside table and might use it on me when I break in, I think I won't bother to break in. So I am a huge fan of the Second Amendment.
Yeah, it's what I was going to say. Thanks to the First Amendment, because of that, they have the rights to defend themselves and they have the rights of so many things. And the thing is, in Canada, Justin Trudeau go against the law-abiding gun owner, while most of the crimes have been committed with illegal guns. And now we have like people who are breaking into to our house and we cannot defend ourselves. Now they criminalize the guns and now we cannot defend ourselves. What do you want to do against someone who break into your house who have illegal guns and they are going to use it against you? But if you have a legal guns on on your side, you cannot use it for protect yourself. Now you just wait for being like killed with the illegal gun and well, that's fine. Alexa, you've probably been released anyway because the justice system is broken.
Let me bounce this past you. Instead of going after, you know, I guess duck hunters in Saskatchewan going hunting with legal guns, which this Liberal government is doing with all their gun prohibitions. How about this? If you are caught with an illegal handgun, you know, on your person or in your backpack, whatever, minimum 10-year sentence. That's it. That's all. I know judges hate the idea of minimum sentences. You got to get stronger on this because we have gangbangers. Yeah. It's catch and release. These are the guys that mean harm. These are the guys that are using guns on honest, law-abiding citizens. And they're literally in and out the door, much like that gold thief, within 24 hours. And guess what? They go on to commit more crimes, even though there's been restrictions set on them. What do you think about that, Alexa? You are found with an illegal handgun, 10 years in the slammer, no ifs, ands, or buts.
I think you're right. We need to have a stronger law applying to people who are either having an illegal gun or traffic illegal gun. Yeah. Because right now, the thing is, can you believe that the cartel that are operating at our border, trafficking human, trafficking guns, trafficking drugs, they are laughing of our justice system. They just like, oh, you know, like the risk that we have to do what we are doing in Canada, it's way less than what we face if we are operating in Mexico or in US.
100%. I think under the Justin Trudeau Liberals, Alexa, our new slogan in Canada should be rewarding the takers, penalizing the makers. You know, Alexa, we're over time for an ad break. When we get back on the other side, here's something right in your backyard, my dear. Quebec is tabling a bill that includes fines for up to $1,500 for politicians that have their feelings hurt. What the heck? Yikes. Anyways, let's talk about that because I can't believe this. But then again, 2024, in the words of our beloved boss man, Ezra Levant, it is indeed the year of censorship. So let's talk about that on the other side.
I am the one being punished for speaking truth, yet he can mock females and say, you know, call me a bigot, incite hate, and nothing's being done about that. But I'm the one being silenced by my federation. A lot of women are silenced and feel silenced and that they have no voice, or they're afraid to speak up, fear of maybe getting kicked out of the federation, to be called names, right, for backlash.
They're trying to silence everyone by using me as an example. So, I mean, more and more people are going to be afraid to speak up. When it comes down to sports, which is my platform, it's bodies that play sports, not identities. And we have to stick to biology. We got to call a spade. We have to call a man and a woman a woman. I have a huge amount of support. We just need those voices to be heard and people to speak up more.
Folks, it's undeniable that our rights and freedoms are under attack. But how can we know what rights we're losing
if we don't even know what rights we already have?
It's Freedom Passport's mission to educate people about their rights and freedoms.
The Freedom Passport is an easy-to-read, pocket-sized booklet containing the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. It's a portable token of your inalienable rights.
There's an app, too. Easily access the Freedom Passport on your phone and compare rights and freedoms from around the world for only $3.99.
Join our global community of individuals who are passionate about understanding their rights and freedoms.
Visit freedompassport.ca and get your Freedom Passport today.
The NDP Trudeau carbon tax on the farmer who grows the food and the trucker who ships the food is a tax on all who buy the food. Now they want to quadruple the tax. I'm Pierre Poilievre. I'll axe the tax so you pay less and bring home more.
You know, Alexa, before we get into this nonsense in Quebec, I gotta say, I love April Hutchinson. She is a strong woman. She's beautiful inside and out. You know, she's into cosplay, and I suggested she next Halloween goes. It's a minor DC character. Her name is Power Girl. Let me put it this way. Power Girl's costume, it makes Wonder Woman's costume look like a nun's habit. So you can Google that later. And she thought that was a great idea. Because if DC Comics ever goes with a Power Girl movie, they don't have to do any casting. It's April Hutchinson. But I bring it up because I yesterday interviewed a colleague of April Hutchinson. Her name is Kathleen Thompson out in Victoria, BC. And she reached out to the British Columbia Powerlifting Association with similar concerns as April, that men are invading this, the female division of powerlifting. And that video is going to go up perhaps on the weekend. Alexa, here's the deal. I'll condense this as much as possible. The president of the BC Powerlifting Association is a woman herself, Jennifer Luther Thomas. She is also a power lifter. And when she got Kathleen's letter, essentially in four pages of verbose, she essentially said, shut your mouth. Don't you dare misgender any of our power lifters. Oh, and by the way, if you have a problem with the way I'm running things here, quit. You know, good riddance. That's a female power lifter president saying to another female, my bottom line, Alexa, if you think this is diversity, equity, and inclusion, no, it's not. It's misogyny. It is a hatred towards women. So we have to stand on guard for the likes of Kathleen Thompson and April Hutchinson. And April Hutchinson, I can't wait to see her next month at Rebel Live.
It's such an unfair thing to see like women in sport of combat or other like sport that involve, you know, strength, like powerlifting, boxing. Everything that those sport, we should not have men competing with women at all. This is not supposed to. It's so dangerous, especially for a combat sport, because you don't know. You can just hit one time and the person can die or can be injured for life.
You're 100% right. Alexa, you talked about boxing, and I know you did this wonderful interview a few months ago with Miss Bissonnette, a female boxer in Quebec, who was a few months ago, she was scheduled to fight a male boxer. Can you imagine? And she defaulted because she doesn't want to lose her marbles. And lo and behold, we've just learned that she's got a rematch coming up. And the people running boxing in Quebec have again scheduled her to fight a biological male. Alexa,
they don't know yet. They don't know yet. So I talked with Katia Bissonnette.
Okay.
And the thing is, she had the name of the person she's going to fight with. The person have a masculine like masculine name. On the Google research, it seems that she's registered as a male. But now that we look at the boxing place, she's now registered as a female. We don't know if that person is a non-binary. We don't know if that person is a male, now identifying as a trans woman. We don't know nothing yet. So,
I've got a good idea.
Now, after talking with Katia, she said that she will know on Saturday during her match, but she will tell me right away what's going on. But if it's someone who is non-binary that take testosterone or take other hormone, she will refuse. If someone also that is a man that now is a trans woman, she will refuse also. Yeah. So we will know what's going on Saturday. But that person is coming from the same boxing place than the other trans woman or man identifying as a woman. It's the same boxing club. And I went to see like the boxing club website and Facebook, and it's all like trans flag and other like woke flag that are all over the wall. So I think I'm going might be paying a visit to that club. That'll to ask them like if they know about like the danger of competing a man with a woman.
You know, that'll be a hell of a video if that's true. It would also prove that this boxing federation in Quebec is vindictive. They've got a vendetta against Katia. And you know, let me tell you how bad this is, Alexa. 'Twas ever thus, with the exception of auto racing and equestrian, males and females are in separate divisions for obvious biological reasons. With equestrian and auto racing, the equalizing factor, of course, is the horse or the race car. But with boxing, with a contact sport, it's even worse to blend men and women together. Because let's say we're just talking about male boxing. You don't put a featherweight up against a super heavyweight. There are strict weight categories. You know, my two sons are in mixed martial arts. They go to fight. If they're like 3 or 4 pounds over, they got to spend the day or two sweating it out, reducing their calorie intake. They got to get down to that maximum weight level. So the very idea that you would put a biological male against a biological female is grotesque and dangerous. And my final thought on this, if it's inclusion, you're a transphobe, we just want to box. Very well. We'll have a male division, we'll have a female division, and guess what? We'll have another division. So if you're a man who thinks he's a woman who thinks she's a man, a guy who thinks he's a lobster, a woman who thinks she's a trans cat, go into that division. Hey, I'd buy that on a pay-per-view. It might be so comedic. It would be so, unintentionally funny. I would watch that. That's the way to handle that. Instead of putting a man in the ring with a woman, that is misogyny.
But the thing is, you will be surprised how many league of trans people are already existing. The thing is, with the normal person who are trans will go to that league, you know, the people who actually agree with what we are doing that is dangerous and everything. But the trans activists who really believe that women, that trans women are women, they want to break the rule and they want to prove that they are real women, and they will go and they will compete against them at the price of their life and their body, like injuries. So the thing is, how far they want to go to prove that they are a real woman, they want to go as far as it might have someone who die.
No, this is precisely the problem, Alexa. It is those radicals in the transgender community. And I have to tell you, with a couple of years of covering members in that community, you are full of people who are entitled, and you are full of people who I think are mentally ill. And I know I'll get a lot of heat from that, but that's the way I see it. And they're going to say, you know, the so-called trans woman, which is a guy pretending to be a female, he'll say, I'm not another. I'm a female. I don't belong in the other category. And I have proof in the pudding to demonstrate that's the case, Alexa. Last October in Berlin, Germany, World Aquatics, which introduced the other category for swimming, you know, so in other words, there's men, women, and if you're a transgender, you go to the other category. Guess what, Alexa? How many transgenders showed up for the other category at the World Swimming Championships last fall in Berlin? Well, the number rhymes with hero. That's right, zero. So that tells me, Alexa, that there's a hell of a lot more going on behind the scenes here in terms of, you know, being able to be included in a sport. Maybe you want to cheat. You want to be a male cheating against women to win the medal. Maybe you want to get into the female change room and be a voyeur. This is sickening. And oh, look, Exhibit A, Liar Thomas. Oh, sorry, Leah. You know, who just dominated the NCAA division against females. My last point on this, and I want to hear your view as a woman, and what a woman you are, is this.
You don't know yet.
Why, you know, I keep exposing these grifters, and it makes me upset. And then I think back, I got to step back sometimes, Alexa, because why in blue hell am I going to bat for females when you have so many females, biological females, typically young 20-something females, and I get it, they've been indoctrinated, they've just graduated from university, who are standing up to the, there's Ash Davis, look at this, this is a guy that plays with the female rugby players, we caught him last July, and look at his real female teammates hugging him and then chanting how trans women are real women, trans rights matter. What I'm saying, Alexa, if women, real women, don't care about this invasion, then why should I?
First of all, you need to take two things into consideration. Some people who are around those people who are taking the space of a woman in the sport, they are friends with them. So they have another relation with that person. They want to protect that person. They want to be there for that person. It's different. So you cannot really count those women who are close to that person because they are affected emotionally and on their relation with that person. But if you go and you take a step behind, and you see the damage that that caused, and you're still agreeing that, oh, yeah, they should be playing against them. They should be there. They should be because they are a real woman. Oh, I'm sorry, but you're brainwashed and you have a really like a big problem and you are a radical activist. And that actually, that doesn't represent most of the population because most of the population, they agree with what we are seeing, that a trans woman should not be competing against a woman because it's unfair. And of course, in every single situation, most of the situation, the men will win.
Of course.
So what is the point for the woman to continue to be strong, to train hard and to arrive and to compete with the men?
Alexa, not only do the men win, they set records. We're seeing that in female powerlifting. And I tell you, my last thought on this, this nonsense ends today if one thing happens. And that is every real female at that powerlifting competition or on that rugby field or on that volleyball court, when encountering a male athlete, they walk out. They leave the building. They make it a mockery. They go, here, Bubba, here's your medal. You don't even have to jump in the pool. It's all yours by default. Then this nonsense comes to an end. But I think there's so
I
many...
don't think so.
I think so. I don't so. Think I've so. Never
it
seen
will, it
yet.
Continue. It will continue. They will continue to pursue the, on this. And afterwards, when we will look at the trends, like the women's sport, it will be all trends. Because it's what it will do. If it, you give them all the power and you give them the right to win and you give them everything. Me, I'm pretty sure that all this will stop when a woman will be really injured and badly, and the risk of their life will be threatening. This is when that will end.
Alexa, I disagree, and I'll tell you why. Ash Davis, last year, there was a game against the Stony Creek Camels, and three women had to be helped off the field, right? They were injured severely by this guy. One woman said that, you know, I played against bigger female players than Ash Davis, but when he hit me, I felt like I was getting hit by a truck. And that's because of the muscle mass, right? You know, it's not just size. Anyways, I can tell you the apologist reaction to that. When you point to that game and you say, what about those three female players on the Stony Creek Camels that got injured? What do you have to say about that? You know what they say? Oh, that hit could have been delivered by another woman and the same thing would have happened. You have no proof. This is the ideological garbage that we are encountering. And I'm telling you, I want to see these females not go through with this. I can tell you the Fergus Highlanders, where Ash Davis plays, their last game of the season was against, I think it was Niagara Falls. And guess what? The coach on the Niagara Falls team said, we're defaulting. It's too deep. It's a matter of player safety. So nobody got to play. If every team said that, you think
you're
this...
talking about team sport. I was more talking about solo sport. So team sport, yeah, you're right. If
either
everybody
or.
Is just like, we don't play anymore, we don't do anymore, like the other people will just like get annoyed and really like, hey, we want to play, we want to perform. So at one point they will say, okay, like, I'm sorry, but you are stopping us to go and to perform and to play our sport. So they will just like say, I'm sorry, but we cannot continue.
Yeah, that's what I hope to see. Anyways, we've spent a lot of time on this. I think I'm identifying as an angry old man. What am I saying? I am an angry old man. Let's go to your neck of the woods. Oh my goodness. The Quebec politicians are worried about hurt feelings. Alexa, correct me if I'm wrong. Politics is a blood sport. There aren't many people that have what it takes to go into politics because the attacks on you, and I don't mean physical attacks, I mean criticism, I mean being, you know, especially in this day and age of social media. And if you are a politician and you're worried about hurt feelings, you know what? Get out of politics instead of changing the law. What's the deal with what's going on in La Belle Province right now?
So in the recent weeks and months, we see like a lot of elected officials, if it's not like at the municipal level, provincial level, they all actually talk about they receive threat, they have a toxic environment, they don't feel safe anymore, or they feel like in uncomfortable like situation. So one of the example I can actually like copy and pass one of the article if she can translate it in English, because most of our news is not getting into English side. So in Lévis, there was like a debate and the mayor have said the words, and this is so irresponsible, wet firecracker, completely false. And so some people have said that they felt not comfortable with those terms. And you see, like, oh, they are sensitive now. So now they put in place one of Bill 57, it's an act to enact the act to protect elected officers and to facilitate the unhindered exercise of their function and to amend various legislative provisions concerning municipal affairs. I'm referring first to, if you can scroll to page 7, the number one is the purpose of this act is to promote the rule of elected officers, encourage candidates to run for elected office, and improve the retention of elected officers. So now, what they say at the number three is like anyone who hindered the exercise of a member function by threatening, intimidating, or harassing the member in a manner that causes them to reasonably fear for their integrity or safety is liable to a fine of no less than $500, no more $1,500.
So, Alexa, what is the definition of harassing? This is what I'm getting at.
Because and integrity. So if they fear that someone is threatening their integrity, they can actually charge you with a fine. What is integrity? So the integrity of a mayor is usually, if I say you're a bad mayor because you're not building enough like roads or you're not building enough like home. So I will face a fine of $1,500 because I threaten the integrity of the mayor saying that is incompetent.
You know, so Alexa,
all the journalists will do their job. Yeah, the journalists will do their job on this.
It is outrageous. And I'll tell you why, you and I, and I'm sure most of our audience, we're pretty much free speech absolutists. But there is a line in the sand, and for me, it's always been, if you advocate harm or death to an individual or a recognizable group of individuals...
The criminal code
exactly, already covered that. It's already there. This is a fix to a problem that does not exist. If someone is so stupid to put in writing or leave a voicemail, I'm going to kill you. I hate you so much. Well, you know what? You are rightfully going to get a visit by the police. No ifs, ands, or buts. This sounds like a bill to protect politicians from hurt feelings. Yeah, and you're right. It's censorship. It is.
Censorship.
So here's the question.
They don't want to face their citizens anymore.
So does Bill 57, in your view, Alexa, is this going to pass?
Well, first of all, Mr. Legault is majority. He have like most of the seat at the National Assembly. So of course, like he have the final decision about it and is their own bill. So of course, like it's gonna pass. I don't know if we will have like as much opposition regarding that bill because there is other member of other party that are involved with the fact that they say that they were threatened and they receive like threats and stuff like that. But the thing is, not only the attack on the elected official, but if you go on the bill at the number 9, they say that anyone during a meeting or any council of a municipal body, and they disrupt the proceeding, they can face $500 charge. So if you are a citizen, you're going to the municipal meeting, and you are really mad because, I don't know, you have flooding in your home for like several weeks and nothing is being done. You're going there, you are angry, and you start like screaming a little bit or you're getting like a little bit, disturbed. And you can face a fine of $500 for having done that. So now they want to repress the people. They want to repress what they have to say. They don't want to hear them anymore. So they put laws that stop them to express what they have, the disagreement, what they are against it. And you know what is the funny part? You know, Eric Duhem is not an elected official. And if he's going and criticize their opponent that are elected, he can face $1,500 fine. But in return, the people who are criticizing him, insulting him, and they are elected official, he cannot use that law. He's not an elected official. We have two class of citizens right now. The citizens who are under the law and they are protected, and the other one who are not, and they are just simple like citizens.
And in the meantime, in my city and yours, we have on a weekly basis people out on the street openly chanting for genocide from the river to the sea and intifada
Palestine,
and go back to Europe. And law enforcement and the political class turn a blind eye and turn the cheek. And yet they're worried about, personal insults or somebody getting emotional at a meeting. All I can say, Alexa, is that if I'm reading between the lines, you think this is going to go through, and it probably will, because all the politicians or most of them are on side with this. I can hardly wait for the first fine, because we got to challenge it in court. You know, maybe it'll be your eye that says something insensitive when we get that $500 fine. See you in court. I think this is unconstitutional. And of course, I don't mean saying a death threat or advocating harm to an elected official. Of course, that's offside.
No.
But this whole idea of being insensitive, impolite, no. We have that right. If you don't like that, don't get into politics.
In the bill, too, every single information about the private life of an elected official, if you are saying it or publishing it or you are talking about it and it's private information, you can also receive a fine. And I think you can also have a court order against you.
But chanting genocide, hey, nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Listen, Alexa, I see we're down to the home stretch for our time on the live stream. Do we have any super chats as of yet?
Yeah, I think so. I think we have here.
Well, let's not leave any of that on the table. Fire away, my dear.
Ryerson Gary. Sorry if I don't say your family name correctly. What a joke. Not bar. Parasite Charlie Angus once had a stole picketer arrested and removed from the sidewalk of his Kirkland Lake office.
Well, here's the good news, Ryerson Gary. Charlie Angus, who I would put in the top 10 worst MPs in Ottawa, he isn't going to be running in the next election. He's amongst a group of, I think it's four or five NDP MPs that are bidding adios. I guess Charlie's already done the math and he has his full pension kicking in. So, yeah, that is an abuse of the process. And this guy, I know for a fact, you say anything contrary to how Mr. Angus thinks, guess what? He blocks you on his official Twitter account, which he is not allowed to do, but he does it.
Oh, but we have like a lot of people, like, you know, the Bloc Québécois?
Yes.
You know, like Yves-François Blanchet? He's actually blocking every Quebecer that are disagreeing with him. So it's so funny to see it because he's supposed to be representing Quebec, but soon it will have like Bloc all the Quebec.
Oh, now I get the name Bloc. It's short for blockade, right? Unbelievable. Boy, these guys are, and you know, if in case people say, well, it's easy for you two to say, you're not in elected office. Alexa, the vast majority of comments we get, thankfully, are so positive, but there are haters out there and the vile things they say. Do you know, a few years ago, there was some, I can't remember the name, but I got a chuckle out of it because it was so outrageous. But for about 6 months, he commented on every video that was posted and he started his critique of me with the following phrase. Given that David Menzies is a convicted pedophile, how can we, oh yeah, I know. And I'm thinking, when was the trial? when was I, like the nonsense that is out there by our haters. So yeah, folks, in journalism, you need a thick skin too. And, you know, but it looks like the political class, one rule for thee, one rule for me, eh, Alexa?
Yes, it is. And not just with like the politician, it's everything. It's like the police officer. It's with everything these days. And sometimes same like the justice system. It's what I feel like some judge, I have already some ideas and some way to see things that are impacting their judgment. Like when we saw like the judge that, that found guilty Jay Van Der Veer, What I was saying is like the Freedom Convoy in itself was a mischief. Since when it became to be unlawful? Can you explain it to me? Because we never had the information that the Freedom Convoy at one point began to be unlawful. No. It's always been lawful. They always respected what they have been asked. But you see, the judge in his head had already the conception of it. So my point is, double standard,
yep.
We swim in it.
100%, Sheila. Sorry, Alexa.
Oh, Sheila.
sorry about that, Freudian slip. Going back
I'm
to
Alexa,
a couple...
identifying as Sheila today.
yes. you know, Alexa, you're absolutely right. Going back, it became especially apparent during the Freedom Convoy. We have double standard politicians, and they don't even hide it. And we have two-tier policing, and that's not even being hidden, whether it's the Freedom Convoy of 2 years ago or the pro-Hamas crap that we witness on the streets of our great cities in Canada. It can't be any more apparent than it is. Mm-hmm. Any more super chats there, my friend?
I don't see any, okay. But I know that we wanted to talk on the... I want you to talk about the Arrive Scam contractor. I think that...
You know, you're not supposed to call it Arrive Scam. That triggers liberals, right? They get really upset.
Yeah. But seriously, at $19.1 million, I would say I would continue to say like Arrive Scam. But the man, like Christian Furt, I don't know if you did follow it a little bit. First of all, he said that he did not bribe public servant for lucrative contract. But we heard afterwards that, yeah, he would invite government employees to lunch and coffee for more than, I think, a couple of years, actually. And that meant, finally, it was also covered by the liberals, because at one point, they arrived to question him and they say, oh, I'm sorry, my doctor said that I cannot... testify, I cannot be under stress and everything. And the liberals were like, we cannot pressure and force someone to answer when they have like a medical condition. And I was like, seriously, like, this is actually a real joke. There is so much. I invite everybody to go and check the Sheila Gunn-Reid Twitter. She watched everything relating to Arrive Scam. And I will continue to say Arrive Scam. Yep. I invite you to go there because she did like cap the best part of it, so you can keep yourself informed of what I've been saying, because sometimes it's long to watch and you're not that much interested. But what I've been saying so far, it's just like, I like when Mr. Broke, the MP, say that to Mr. Furt, if Justin Trudeau should be there next to him and facing legal like consequences. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I cannot really answer that. I don't know really what you expect me to answer. And I was like, seriously, like this question is simple.
You know, Alexa, my take on this is this. Let's give this guy the benefit of the doubt. Let's say he's telling the truth that he didn't bribe anyone. Mm-hmm. That almost makes a bribe scam even worse. That you dummies, right? You bought this dog that doesn't hunt, as they say down in Alabama, for millions of dollars when it should have cost tens of thousands mm-hmm. of dollars. And you didn't even, you know, financially enrich yourselves. I mean, you're just that stupid as opposed to being that greedy. So, you know, first of all, I don't buy it. I think,
I don't.
And we definitely have to follow this story. And Sheila is doing great work on this file. But just an outrage and yet another scandal for this Justin Trudeau government. Mm-hmm. Too many to list right now in the remaining moments that we have. So that's where I stand. Anything else you want to add before we bid adieu?
No, but I will remind people that if you don't have your ticket for Ribbon News Live that is coming up May 11, you don't want to miss that. If you want to meet with Mr. Menzi just next to me and all your favorite Rebel, and we will have also like great speaker. Don't miss that. Go and buy your ticket right now. You have like the website just right there. And I think you don't want to. Like Billboard, Chris will be there. Tamara Litch. I think same like April. Do April will be there?
April Hutchinson will be there. Yeah. Yep. Salman Seema, you know, the Persian advocate for Israel. Yeah, these are wonderful freedom fighters. We have a packed schedule. I can't wait. I love these Rebel Live events because of the people that show up. I love meeting our audience. So as Alexa said, folks, if you haven't got your ticket, these things do tend to sell out. So as Billy Red Lines used to say, don't you dare miss it. Well, Alexa, that was a fun time. I used to do this every day, but then Efren put me out to pasture. So it's just Sheila on Fridays. No, that's not true. It's just that, folks, there's so much happening in the field. I just couldn't, give the time to do a live stream because there's just so much happening right now. And I love it out in the field, of course. So on the behalf of Alexa Lavoie and Olivia in the control room, making all the magic happen, I want to say to everybody, have yourself a wonderful weekend.
Wonderful day.
As always, stay safe and stay sane.
Housing is one of the biggest challenges people are facing, and taking a concrete and solid approach on investing ambitiously in housing is something that this government is absolutely doing. Once you've been in power for 8+ years, it becomes harder and harder to blame the previous guys for challenges you're facing. But housing is a long-term issue in this country, and the fact that for 10 years, the Conservative government, in which Pierre Poilievre was actually housing minister, the fact that they withdrew completely from housing and said actually explicitly that the federal government has nothing to do, should have nothing to do with affordable housing specifically, was just wrong. And it's something we're playing catch up on ever since, which is why we've been so incredibly ambitious with different measures out there.
There's so much more energy in Canada to fight back against woke, to fight back against tyranny.
The counter reaction eventually to relentless identity politics is for the other side to start saying, okay, identity politics.
Right
or wrong, what it does is it creates more of itself. And it's like it's contagious.
These tyrannical regimes weaponize the idea that people think they're the only one who doesn't go along with everything, right? And so they're ashamed that they're not good enough to get it. If they don't buy in, they're going to get excluded. They know that the axe comes for them. And so they're going to do anything to stay included. That's the psychology of inclusion. That's the word, right? People are waking up and saying, oh my gosh, what's really going on? And a lot of them are getting answers and a lot of them are figuring it out. They cross the uncrossable line. They mess with our kids. We've heard from Sikhs, we've heard from Muslims, we've heard from Christians, we've heard from atheists, we've heard from all kinds of people. You don't mess with our kids.